Started probably in about a minute, so let's go ahead and get started. First of all, wow, great crowd, thank you. Thank you so much for everyone coming out tonight. All right, couple things first. I'm going to do introductions and all that fun stuff. You know, when I first started thinking about pulling together this meeting, I want to tell you a little bit how it came about. But one of the things I had thought would make it a little bit more casual. It's going to be kind of tough tonight. I will have a question and answer period at the end, and we're going to try to do it row by row. I want it to be very constructive, that part of it, and I don't want people to leave feeling like they haven't been heard, or point counterpoint if we get into that, hasn't been heard. But try to kind of keep it brief. You know, we're going to cap it probably 1 to 2 minutes if you have a comment, and try not to reiterate too much that's already been said. If you've got new content to bring to the topic, that's awesome, thank you. So we'll go ahead and jump right in. You know, first things first, you know, we need to start somewhere. And legislators were invited to a legislative breakfast maybe 2 weeks ago. And our good friends, Senator Lopez and Senator Katchik were there. And they asked a really good question that we should have had an answer for at the time. It was, and not verbatim, but it was basically, where does Greene County stand on a casino? Or, you know, kind of tell us what you guys think. And, you know, the proverbial crickets were chirping in the room. Then it came down to, like, you know, raise your hand if you're for it or against it, you know, whatever it was. And it was literally at each table, I'd say possibly 50-50. You know, it was just a non-scientific count of me looking around. And we had a little bit of a conversation after that. But it really got the legislators thinking that, you know, we really need to reach out. We really need to talk to the public, need to talk to our constituents, you guys, and really get a good feeling about, okay, this is happening, there's going to be a vote Tuesday, if it's on, we've got to make a decision if we want to be in the running. There's all kinds of rumors out there. Saratoga's a shoo-in, Monticello's a shoo-in, and in Catskill there's a whole bunch of rumors. I'm just pretending like none of it is true, and we just need to move forward in thinking that we're going to throw our name in the ring if we want, and if it passes on Tuesday. Tonight we're going to give you some of the facts about the bill that you're going to be voting on Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit about if it passes and we decide we do want to go after a casino, what does that mean to us in Greene County? What does that mean to our infrastructure? So, very simple. Number two is answer the question, does Greene County want a casino? Get some information out tonight. Educate participants. Walk away with a list of tasks and questions. We're not going to get, quite frankly, other than when the folks talk about the actual bill itself, you're probably not going to get a lot of answers tonight. You might get a lot of opinions, but you're not going to get a lot of solid answers tonight on that stuff. And then develop a plan, that's what I just talked through. You know, it may feel like some of this presentation is going to be pro-gaming. You know, you're going to see some slides, and I've had some fun with dice and things like that up there, and I think, it, you know, the legal slides have some, you know, casino tables. It's not pro-gaming. It wants to give you the information. But the slides are more just to kind of motivate you and to kind of keep you engaged on the whole topic. The agenda, I'm not going to read through it, you guys will have to read, but bottom line is we've got our great partners from the State Assembly and the Senate. They're going to come up and talk for a second. We've got a statement that Jeff Friedman, who's from the Great Northern Catskills Chamber of Commerce, that's our local Chamber of Commerce, Jeff's going to read the statement. He can be here tonight. And as time goes, I might switch some of these around to see how the meeting's going to flow. We might move some of these around pretty good. The last thing I want to say is on this topic is, you know, we need to walk out of here with a plan. And that plan could be whatever it is. Next steps. I don't want to leave this room tonight not knowing what we're doing as a group. All right, introduction. So I'm Vincent Seeley. I'm a Greene County legislator. I'm also the Village of Catskill board president. Like I said, the meeting tonight was a genesis. The genesis of the meeting tonight was from a legislative breakfast, and I appreciate all you guys coming out. And, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, on your way out the door, if you could let somebody who's watching the door just know how you heard about it tonight, because I was interested in some of the media. A lot of people said they heard about it through the internet, emails, and stuff like that, but I'd be curious to find out what the best vehicle to get a meeting like that is. First up, we have Senator C.C. Katchik with us. We have Assemblywoman Pete Lopez, Chris Higgins, who's legal counsel. We have local and elected officials. I'm not going to go through everyone that's here, but you can definitely catch up with them afterwards. Jeanette O'Callaghan, she's from the Great Northern Catskills Chamber of Commerce. She's up here in the front. She's going to help us get through these and also read a slide. And first thing I want to do is give Anthony Giorgi, Anthony Banquet Hall, the Giorgi family, a warm welcome to the panel. Jimmy down at Tatiana's down there, and I say, hey, I need to have a meeting on, you know, Main Street or whatever, and it's just, tell me what night, tell me what you need, and we'll help you out. So they're great partners with the community, so I appreciate that. All right, first up, Cece, come on up.
I'll be really brief. I'm just really impressed that Vinnie pulled this together so quickly. This really literally happened after a discussion we had at the Chamber of Commerce breakfast. And the after discussion was, well, what can we do to help? And one of the things that I suggested is, you know, one of our roles as legislators is to give you information. And there's enabling legislation that if the voters decide on Tuesday they want to change the Constitution, allow gaming to go forward, there's enabling legislation. What's this process? What does this mean to host communities? It's those types of questions that we wanted to get answers to you tonight. And that's kind of the role that we wanted to play. And fortunately, Chris Higgins, who is here, is our legal counsel in the Senate minority, and he works on gaming legislation. And so he went through the bill, put together a PowerPoint presentation to help you understand what are the issues in the bill that you need to know that might help you make a decision on Tuesday. But the bottom line is the voters get to decide this going forward. We all know pros and cons around gambling, and nothing's going to happen unless the voters decide this, and it's really, clearly, it's up to you. So I look forward to hearing your questions, and hopefully this will be an informative venue for you to get some more information to help you make a decision. So thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Somebody with us?
On to get this out in front of the public, because that was one of the opening questions I had to the chamber as we were talking about all sorts of issues. The question still remains, where does this community, where does this region stand on the prospect of casino gambling? And as the senator pointed out, yes, there's a referendum up this Tuesday. That's the local decision making. The other part of it, and this gets back to the enabling legislation, it also boils down to home rule. It also boils down to which communities, which towns, which villages, which counties in Greene County or throughout the region want to be part of this, want to compete in the regions that have been established. And it really boils down to a local decision of whether casino gambling fits with quality of life, with economic development, with tourism, with issues of social concerns. And that's something that we can't answer from our respective offices. Only you can answer that. So again, our goal is to get this in front of you, get this to be part of the conversation in the community, and then try to get a measure of where people want to go and how they'd like to proceed. So again, I congratulate many in the chamber. I'm glad our county legislature is here with us and other elected officials, the treasurer, county clerk, because we're all partners in this together. But ultimately, town by town, village by village, you folks are the ones who are going to make the decision on this. So it's important that we all have full information in front of us. So looking forward to a great evening, and thanks for coming. Thanks again.
Thank you, Pete. Next up, as I mentioned earlier, Jeff Friedman was the executive director for the Great Northern Catskills Chamber. He's traveling. He did have a lot of input on these slides and the content of them, and Jeanette from that office is going to come on. Jeanette?
I'm Jeanette O'Callaghan, I'm from the Great Northern Catskills Chamber of Commerce, and like Vinny said, our director, Jeff Friedman, is in California, the lucky bastard that he is. So I'm going to be reading a statement. I'm going to ask you to bear with me because it is his words and not mine, so I'm going to fumble my way through them. Okay. The Great Northern Catskills Chamber of Commerce would like to thank you for joining us tonight. Based on current polling data, non-tribal Indian casino gaming in New York State is most likely to become a reality come election day. It is the law, if this law is approved by voters, the chamber believes that Greene County should vigorously pursue the location of one of the initial four casinos that will be awarded by New York State. I realize that most of you will say, of course the Chamber of Commerce would support this. All they care about is more business for the county. You'd be right in saying this. However, the Chamber is more concerned with the growth and long-term stability of our Greene County communities. Strong communities are a byproduct of strong businesses. An up-to-date and modern infrastructure provided by governments and business, as well as cohesive, strong, charitable, and social organizations, making sure that no one is lacking in the basic necessities of life. So the obvious question then is, why do we believe this to be the case? Surely many of you here tonight are worried about any negative impact a casino will have on our community. We are all worried about the socioeconomic issues that gambling brings, from gambling addictions to possible crimes, impacts on our roads and community resources. So how can we benefit from this while preserving our way of life? These are all good questions and concerns, and they must be balanced against the positives that a casino would bring. So let's get started here with the realities of present-day Greene County. First, our county is gray. The average age of a Greene County resident is rising. Look around this room. What is the average age of tonight's attendee? The average age in Greene County is currently 44 years old. Second, Greene County has experienced what can be termed a brain drain. Our young people are leaving. There are no jobs for them after receiving their education. In fact, there is in general a shortage of jobs in Greene County. The lack of jobs and opportunity that has left us at a disadvantage in attracting new young families to our community. The result is we are just getting older and smaller as a county. It is a slow and painful march towards ceasing to exist as a functional community. Our way of life continues to deteriorate due to lack of resources and economy. Without jobs, opportunities, and the accompanying infrastructure, we will not attract the young families we need to grow and flourish. We will continue to lose our best and brightest young people to other locations. Our county has tremendous potential. We have affordable, available, developable lands. We have quality resources, such as access to rail, air, and interstate transportation, plenty of available power, water, and sewage. We also have no signs of major growth or incentive for anyone to bring their company to our county. We lack the added amenities and services that businesses and their employees demand. So now you may be asking, what would a casino do to help these problems? To answer these questions, let's take a look at how casino gambling has affected other similar rural communities in the Northeast. In Verona, New York, located in Oneida County, they have Turning Stone Casino. This community is much like ours, rural, wedged between major cities, but not close enough to benefit from them, lacking in raw industry. According to research that the Chamber has conducted, the present-day average income of Oneida County is $48,382. This is up significantly from prior to the casino's arrival. There are presently 108 jobs available at the casino property. The number of job openings ranges from 100 to 200 at any given time. These positions include waitresses and car dealers, but they also include accountants, information technology professionals, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, marketing experts, and event planners. The area has seen an influx of new hotels that have opened near the casino property, including several national chains. Additionally, there has been the growth of ancillary businesses around Turning Stone, including gas stations, shops, and several service businesses. The average visitor to the area ranges from retirees to business people to families to banquet and wedding attendees. They have not seen an appreciable uptick in crime or many of the social issue concerns we worry about. Large-scale events at the casino, such as concerts, have in the past filled hotels throughout the region as far away as Roman and Sullivan. In Uncasville and in Ledyard County, Connecticut, where Mohegan Sun Casino and Foxwood Casino reside, it is much the same situation. For the sake of time, I will spare you the similar details to Verona and refer you to the information posted in the PowerPoint presentation. The impact on the surrounding area has been similar and highly positive. So the Chamber poses these questions to everyone here. Can Greene County afford not to go after more than 1,000 jobs a casino will generate? With just 23 jobs posted on ColumbiaGreenHelpWanted.com in Greene County, could we use a company with the need for hundreds of jobs on a regular basis? With Greene County's present $47,000 a year income, average income, could we use the positive economic growth a casino would bring? The concerns for crime are also negligible. Casinos are some of the most insecure places in the world. A casino also brings the first step in infrastructure. A casino brings shops, concerts, shows, entertainment, and added activity that companies and their employees will look for when considering where to locate. And with the added businesses that grow around the property, we begin to grow the services needed to continue to attract more businesses. The financial implications of casino in Green County are a major attribute of their presence and will have far-reaching impact. The governor's office estimates that tax revenue from the new casinos that will be returned to Green County from the state are as follows. Without a casino, Green County will receive $581,000 for our schools and $612,000 for our, for the county, schools county. If we are the host county for a casino, we receive the same $581,000 for our schools, but we receive $13.7 million for our county. This does not include the added sales tax revenue, property taxes that will be collected. Remember, every dollar generated in our local economy turns over 7 times. We could not use, could we not use the economic push? Could our county use nearly $14 million to help improve our infrastructure, lower our taxes, better market our tourism industry, assist our community organizations, and so on? So given all these facts, you know why the Chamber is in support of a casino in Green County. We need this first step. We need the jobs. We need the revenue. We need the infrastructure. Other rural communities have benefited from casinos, so why shouldn't we? Ulster and Sullivan counties are actively pursuing this economic venture. Can we afford to let them acquire this industry and leave us an even smaller share of our area's tourism dollar? Let's support Green County and actively pursue this prosperity for ourselves. The Great Northern Catskills Chamber of Commerce would like to thank you for your attention, your input, and for allowing us to present this information. Have a great weekend, and if you have any questions specifically for the Chamber, Jeff will be back in his office on Monday morning. Please bother him. Thank you.
All right, so when I was putting the slideshow together, this was my attempt at highlighting the gaming bill. I'm going to skip this because what Chris had said to me earlier this morning blows this one sheet away. And after I looked at his slide presentation and some of the in-depth information that he had, I got it. You read it, you look through, you can absorb it. So without further ado, Chris, come on.
Thanks, Vince. So my name is Christopher Higgins. I'm an attorney. I've been working in the state Senate for the past 8 years, basically since I got out of law school, and I specialize in racing, wagering, Native American gaming, the lottery, and for the better part of the last year, I've been focusing on the constitutional amendment, the legalization of Class 3 gaming, which is all casino gaming here in the state of New York. I brought a bunch of handouts. Many of you have taken them. There's some additional information up on the table. And what I'll do is tomorrow morning I'll email this information to Vince for anybody who's didn't get an opportunity to get some of this stuff and may not want to go over my notes. What I'm attempting to do, just to let you know, this is a 115-page single-spaced bill. This is the enabling legislation that Senator Kasich and Senator Lopez referenced earlier today. I have attempted to take 115 pages and turn it into 15 slides with the most basic and important information that I felt would be necessary for folks who are going to the polls on Tuesday to vote on this issue. So just to begin, casino gaming in the state of New York. Our state constitution currently prohibits Class 3 or full casino gaming in this state with very limited exceptions for horse racing, at a harness track or a thoroughbred track, whether it's Saratoga or Monticello or Tioga, as well as a lottery system, which you see basically every supermarket and gas station in the state of New York. What we also have right now is legal Native American full casino gaming in certain parts of the state, specifically in Western New York with the Seneca Nation of Indians, as well as in Central New York with the Oneida Indian Nation of Indians, and in Northern New York with the Mohawks. So what we need to do in order to allow other areas of the state to expand into casino gaming is amend the state constitution. And that's the question that you're going to see. Let me go to the next slide. That's the next question you're going to see on Tuesday's election. Specifically, it's at the bottom here. It's Proposition 1. You may have read some articles about this. This is language that was created by the State Board of Elections in conjunction with the governor's office. And this is exactly what you're going to see on this on the back page of the ballot. And the idea here is to amend Section 9 of Article 1 of the Constitution to allow up to 7 facilities in the state of New York with with the first four facilities coming in the next year, right? You can go to the next slide. So basically, what I'm trying to do, if there's one thing you want to take away from this presentation tonight, these are the four most important bullets that you can take away. Specifically, if the referendum is approved, what's going to happen first? There's going to be four out of the seven casinos will be licensed in the next several years. There's a seven-year exclusivity built into the enabling legislation that will allow those four to come online without further development for 7 years. So that's the first building. How are they going to be selected? Casinos are going to be selected by a site selection board, which is going to be appointed by the State Gaming Commission. We have a State Gaming Commission, it used to be called the Racing and Wagering Board, that oversees our lottery, our horse racing, Native American gaming. They have offices in all those different facilities. The State Gaming Commission is going to appoint a site selection board consisting of five members, and those folks are going to have very specific criteria, and they're going to be the ones who are charged with evaluating the applications that come in for companies that are interested in Class 3 full casino gaming. Third bullet point, the revenue. Specifically, the revenue that's derived from casino gaming, what's going to happen to it? 80% of that revenue is slated pursuant to the legislation, the enabling legislation, go for elementary and secondary education, as well as real property tax relief. Another 10% goes to the host municipality, whether it's a town, a city, or a village, as well as the host county. The remaining 10% is spread, and we'll get to this a little later, throughout the other counties that are in this geographic region. The bill, and you'll see this later, breaks the actual state up into different regions. So this is probably the foremost important points to take out of this. So how and where will the casinos be located? So as I mentioned, we have a site selection board. The board is going to have a very specific set of criteria, and they're going to be able to issue subpoenas to do background searches on these companies to make sure there's no nefarious activity going on, take testimony from folks when they come in front of the board to discuss their applications, take criminal history background checks from the FBI, and they're going to be able to determine how much of a license fee a specific company in a specific region should pay to the state in order to have the benefit to operate. They're also going to have the ability to promulgate rules and regulations that are not directly addressed in the enabling legislation. And specifically, if the amendment is approved, what's going to happen is the site selection board, the appointees will be chosen by that gaming commission. And then within 90 days, once the gaming commission site selection board is set up, they're going to be tasked with putting together requests for proposals for those four facilities throughout the state of New York. And you can go to the next slide. So the board, specifically, what are they going to look at? They're going to look at the financial plans for these companies, whether they're solvent, their experience in the gaming industry, whether they've been licensed in other jurisdictions throughout the country, and how much money, and that's that word capitalization, how much money they're willing to bring to the table as far as the total package is concerned. Some of the other points here that I just tried to mention about the regulatory powers that this site selection board is going to have, they're going to be able to dictate and determine specifically what games are going to be allowed in these casinos, what the odds would be, what devices, what different slot machines, what the odds on the slot machines are going to be, how we're going to collect payments and fees. And all this is going to be addressed through regulations that they're going to work in conjunction with the Gaming Commission on. You can go to the next slide. Alright, so facility determination and licensing. The state, for purposes of how we were going to license and locate these different seven facilities, the bill breaks out different regions, first by different zones. You see this on the left, Zone 1 and Zone 2. This is really easy. Zone 1, everything in Zone 1 is off the table for the first 7 years. So don't even concern yourself with that. We're more interested in what's going to happen in Zone 2 in Regions 1, 2, and 5. So you have those three boxes there. Those are the counties in regions 1, 2, and 5 that are going to be eligible if as someone mentioned, if the local municipalities want to have a casino within their borders. Right? And so there's four licenses, but there's only three regions. So there's potential for one region to get two licenses. There's been a lot of speculation that the Catskill region, which is your region, here would get two licenses, but that hasn't been predetermined. That'll be up to the actual board. After 7 years, then the ability to have additional licenses awarded in Zone 1 will come online. But for right now, we're really just concerned with regions 1, 2, and 5. In those regions, we'll get a casino if the amendment moves forward. You go to the next slide. So as a condition of licensure, gaming has to commence within 2 years from the date of the issuance of a license. And the commission, this is what I just said, they cannot issue any additional licenses for those 5 years. You put the two and the five together, you get seven, that's your 7 years of exclusivity. And that time frame is actually built into the licensing process. Into the next one. So the application process, how's this gonna work? I touched on this a little before. The site selection board will be comprised of these appointees from the Gaming Commission. Within 90 days, they're going to actually issue a detailed request for proposals statewide for companies that are interested in coming here. Some of the information that they're going to outline here, I've put in the bullets. This is the criteria that they're going to analyze and review through the application process. The idea is that this is going to be a weighted scoring process by the site selection board. These are just some of the factors that they're going to look at in the application process. Go to the next slide. Now here's an interesting one, the required capital investment. Everybody wants to know how much money these hotels are bringing to the table. Just to put this in perspective, when we licensed in 2010 the Aqueduct VLT facility, which is at the Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens, New York, the most successful video lottery terminal facility in the country, they paid a licensing fee of $250 million to the state of New York for the privilege of having that business at that track. The bill does not contain a specific amount of fees in each region. The goal is for these different companies to tell us what they think the license is worth. And included in that is the fact that they have to provide a big picture, not just the box with slot machines and roulette craps, but what is your ancillary economic development? Do you plan a golf course? Do you plan more than one hotel? The bill does require at least one hotel in each facility. In other amenities, do you anticipate a spa, for example, things like that. And so these are things that are going to go into that application process. And then here you have 10 criteria. These are specific criteria that companies are going to have to comply with when they submit their RFP. Minimal capital investment. They have to actually own the land where they physically want to put the casino or lease it. They have to pay a license deposit. There's $1 million application fee that they're going to have to submit to the board for the review process. They're going to have to identify specifically what the service cost would be to the host municipality, whether that's infrastructure, capital improvements, water and sewer lines that would have to be built in. They have to comply with state and fire building codes. Some of the other additional notes here that I have, as far as the actual construction is concerned, the bill specifically requires that whoever is building the casinos enter into project labor agreements with local unions and trades who are going to be performing the work. It also requires labor peace agreements with the operator. The labor peace agreement would be for those folks who are working on the inside of the casino. We just went through a process in Queens, New York, actually, where the union, the Hotel Motel Trades Council, that had represented a lot of the service workers at the Aqueduct facility, they went through arbitration with the operator, Genting, New York. It turns out the arbitrator ruled in favor of the union and doubled all the wages down there to, I think, like between $44,000 and $60,000 a year on average salary. So that labor peace agreement is a very big part of here to really level the playing field with the union and the workers who are going to be working for the corporation. Just some basic points here. Age for participation, 21 and over, except if you're passing through the actual facility. Hours of operation, 24 hours a day. This is different than the current VLT facilities we have in the state of New York. They are not allowed to operate 24 hours a day. The casino will be open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Also interesting, the service of alcohol beverages in the facilities would not be regulated by the state liquor authority. The actual gaming commission would have jurisdiction over licensing for liquor at restaurants and bars that are in these specific facilities. Okay, next slide. Here's the information everybody wants. The taxes and the fees on the machines that are coming to the state and the localities. The machine and the table fees. Specifically, there's a $500 fee built on every slot machine in each respective casino. That $500 fee fee is earmarked for problem and compulsive gambling assistance. The State Division of the Budget, which is the organization charged with providing the legislature with the governor's executive budget, they estimate that that $500 fee through all these different casinos will result in an additional $4.7 million for problem and compulsive gambling services that will be affiliated with the social costs, if you will, of expanded gambling in the state. On top of that, there's going to be, and you can see this here in the different regions, at the bottom, a 10% tax on all your table games, roulette, craps, blackjack, poker, whatever it is. The state is going to take 10% of that fee. Now, to the left of that number, in the different regions, this is very interesting, is the percent of the tax on the slot machine revenue. Right? You put a quarter in the machine, and the state is going to take, essentially, in region one, where we are, 39 cents. Well, 0.39 of the quarter. A dollar in the slot machine, to take it from a lawyer, not a mathematician. They're taking 39 cents off the dollars coming to the state. And you ask yourself, why are these numbers so different for different regions of the state? And I will tell you why. These numbers are tied to the current commissions for the video lottery terminal operations at the current harness facilities. So, for example, this 39% right here in region one, this is the amount, this is the take that the operator gets at Monticello Raceway, which is in your region. And it, believe it or not, it's not a uniform percentage. Each different VLT and harness racing facility that has VLTs has a different percentage rate. And that's a product of a lot of things that I don't want to get into. But over the years, they've changed. So 39%, 45%, 37%, that's the percentage. Now, next slide, how the money is going to be spent, the take from the casinos. This is a pretty basic formula. 80% of the money goes to elementary and secondary education or real property tax relief. The bill specifically states that this money is above and beyond what the state currently gets from our lottery, from scratch-offs and quick draw and all that. This is above and beyond that amount of money, and the bill spells that out. An additional 10% gets split between the host municipality, whether that's the town, the city, or the village, and the actual host county. And that the last 10% goes between the different counties in those regions. So if Green County got one, for example, that additional 10% is going to go to Columbia, Dutchess, Sullivan, Schoharie. Those are additional counties that didn't get one, but should still get some sort of a benefit from having the casino in the region. Revenue, that's estimated by the State Division of the Budget. The DOB estimates $430 million annually from the whole class of the gaming year. The funds must be used for school aid. And if you break it out, and we'll get to the next slide, it'll be $238 million would go towards that additional money for education. And $192, that $430, goes to annual local government aid for the local municipalities and counties. Now this chart, what I did for you guys is provided you with information from this is a breakout of those numbers from the Division of the Budget for this region only. And basically what you can see for where we are in green, what you can see based on an estimate is $581,000 in additional school aid money and $612,000 in county distribution. And that's how that would work out here for a total of $1.193 million for this county in Zone 2, Region 1. And you can see down here, Putnam, Rockland, Westchester, for example, it says not applicable in those columns. That's because they have 7 years of exclusivity, right? No casino's going to go in there. So they don't get a benefit in those regions for those additional counties. So that's why it says not applicable there. But those are your numbers for this particular region as provided from the State Division of the Budget. You can go to the last slide. So these estimates are based on a variety of different factors that the Division of the Budget uses to come up with estimating revenues for the state. And they also take into consideration additional VLT facilities that are going to be down in Nassau and Suffolk counties outside of and in the city of New York that are also going to come online irrespective of whether the constitutional amendment passes or not. But that's 115 pages distilled into 14 slides with what I thought was probably the most pertinent information. And I'll be happy to answer any questions here at the end of the presentation.
So I thought that was a great job outlining the key details of the bill. This slide here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's in your handout, and if you don't have a copy, you can read. I'll give you a copy of it. Just a couple of things I wanted to throw out there, food for thought. And again, some of it's pro, some of it is a little bit of a mix. You know, the basic economic impacts of a casino is going to lead to some jobs. But the way I look at it, as lawmakers in this region or anybody that gets in the mix on this deal, we need to make sure that those jobs are here, right? So if we have a company come in and they want to build something, X building, and we have people outsource that to other regions, bring them in, except for them buying dinner here and maybe some gas money and things like that, staying at a hotel, to me, it's a limited impact. So I want to make sure that there's a way that we can influence how that gets sourced, if anything is done here, how that gets sourced. A couple other points. Any industry that draws money from the outside is helpful, right? So if we have somebody driving past the thruway, there's a dollar in their pocket, and they're headed to Albany, but they happen to stop here and give us 50 cents of that dollar, that's 50 cents we didn't have. And that's kind of where I'm going with a lot of this. Last comment, last bullet on that side, it's going to be the casinos buy more products from out of state than businesses that are in place. I mean, that's a general statement, but again, we just need to make sure that some of that sourcing is done through local where appropriate. Nothing else on this slide. You know, you guys can read it and ask questions on there. Infrastructure. So I think this is where, quite frankly, we're going to be able to shine. I think there's a couple key places in Greene County where the municipalities have made a very, very targeted effort to upgrade their infrastructure. Water system, sewer system, emergency plans, police protection. All the infrastructure that we need to grow is here. We just need something to be able to grow to. I will say that our roads, we do need investment in our roads. So as we sit down and put together a package, if we decide to go forward with requesting this, part of that package is going to have to be put right up front. We're going to have to do some roads on our infrastructure, work on our roads. Last thing on that is, you know, the investment that each municipality has made wasn't because, oh, there may be a casino someday. It's because they want to grow. They're hungry for growth. They're hungry for jobs. The growth is there. We just need to see where that's going to go. Location, location, location. This might be my most favorite slide or portion of a slide up here. You know, I don't want this to be a tale of two cities. And just when I came in tonight, somebody had caught me and said, something about Atlantic City. One section you go in and it's one part of the city is beautiful, you know, it's where the casino is, but then you go outside of it and there's slums. It's not as good as the other part. So it winds up being one city split in two. And I want to make sure that we're very cognizant of that, that there could be that effect should something go forward. We do have buildable sites. I think one thing I want to caution us, a lot of you here, I know you, you're property owners. As this heats up a little bit, if it passes, and we do decide we're going to move forward requesting this, I want to make sure we're smart about pricing our property, because we could very easily price ourselves right out of the market. If you have something on the market today for, I'm going to make up easy math numbers here, $100,000, and then you hear a buzz about, well, we're applying for a casino, or Greene County's being looked at, and all of a sudden you go up to $1.2 million. I'm all about making a profit. I get it. It's the way we do it. But let's be reasonable and not price ourselves out, because developers that are driving, that are coming in to look, if you're at $1.2 million for a $200,000 piece of property, it ain't going to happen. They're going to walk and they're going to find another place that's going to be more attractive for their dollar, because they have investors just like you made an investment at one time. Thruway exits. I want to call that out a little bit, because you know we have the Coxsackie exit, which some significant infrastructure has been done there. You know, over the past, the IDA has done a great job of getting that site ready up by New Baltimore. We talk about the water park and things like that. But you know, again, I'm kind of taking out of my mind what we talk about going there to. Something can go there because the infrastructure is there. You know, the thruway entrances are a catch-22, right? So you have this exit, easy on, easy off, but then we have to make sure we understand, how do we get people that got off, went to wherever, Water Park Casino, how do we get them to our downtown main streets to make sure that they get a benefit? Now, some people can say, well, that's part of their job. They have to do their own marketing, they have to get them there. But I think us as a community, we have to really have a clear plan that if something comes next to these thruway exchanges, we need a
plan to get those out of, get those people away from that site and into our municipalities to support the local businesses. I really think we need to bring in our planning boards, regardless of the casino concept, we need to bring in our planning boards and our zoning boards, and they're our partners. They've been assigned by us on village and town boards to be our planning arm. They get to look around and say, you know what, here's what you're not seeing, Vinny, or here's what you're not seeing, you know, legislator, about a particular area there. So I think we got to get them engaged. And as we start to talk about these RFPs and requests for proposals, I want to make sure that we get plugged into those, because I think if anybody is putting in an RFP, a business is putting in an RFP, and they're starting to look at property in our area, we need to be very clear on what the zoning is and how we're going to engage our planning board, so we're not scrambling at the last minute to figure out if we need to change zoning to be pro or against something. All right, emergency services. Yeah, this one, I'm not an emergency services guy. You know, Kevin Lennon, who's on the legislature with me, is a key in that area for me, somebody I would rely on. You know, Joe Kozlowski is on the legislature as well. He kind of focuses on more on the infrastructure. Emergency services to me are pretty simple, right? So you have, and some of you might want to argue with me on this, but just bear with me. You know, everything has to just be scalable, right? So if there's traffic problems, you're going to need to scale up. You need to hire another deputy. You're going to need to hire another village police officer, whatever. It's like anything. When we brought in the village of Catskill, when we brought Walmart in, there's more traffic. There's more people backing into each other. There's more people shoplifting. There is a cost of doing that business. It's all about the finances, and it's all about sitting down and understanding kind of a cost-benefit analysis to say, cop, police officer costs us $100,000, we're bringing in $1 million. Any community college business course will tell you that's a pretty good deal. $1 million for $100,000, those are the types of exercises we're gonna have to do. We're gonna need to evaluate the staffing models. Are the folks that we have on our emergency services, are we up for it? Do we have the skill set here that are going to be able to do? Do we have the equipment and do we have the facilities? Are we going to need to build new firehouses and buy helicopters? And who else knows what's going to come flying out that we need, that we're going to need for something like this? We need to be very clear about that. Yeah. All right, so this one is a little bit of a twist. And this came up the morning of the legislative breakfast. You know, what if we become a non-gaming county? So let's say it doesn't pass on Tuesday. Or let's go down the road a bit. It passes on Tuesday, Wednesday, everybody gets an uproar, but public sentiment is, you know what? We really feel like we don't want casino gaming in our area, in Green County. Well then, I think we still have a job to do to make sure that people driving past exit 21, if they're going to Saratoga or wherever the casino is gonna be, we have an obligation to see what our opportunity is to monopolize on that. And a couple things I threw out there, and again, these are just ideas, and I'll be welcome either during the Q&A or afterward, you folks want to reach out to your local representative and, or reach out directly to me. You know, outlet malls. You know, people are going from the city, let's say they're going to go past exit 21 and they're going to a casino, but they see an outlet mall. If that's me, my wife, I'm stopping and she's probably going to buy stuff. I mean, it's just the nature of the way that it goes. So that's a way for us to attract people coming out there. I'm not saying outlet mall is the answer, but we need to start thinking that way. You know, top-notch resorts. You go, we'll have gaming somewhere else. You come stay here, you do your skiing, you do everything here in Green County that's more active outside. We keep our, you know, sense of the place. But then we have shuttle buses that take people from us, beautiful Green County, off and they gamble some other place, lose some money, come back with their wounds in our town. And that's why staying green and gamble elsewhere. All right, what I want to do now is we're going to do a Q&A, and actually we're making really good time. I made a promise to a lot of folks here that I said 6:30 would be the absolute latest, so I'm not saying we have to do a half an hour of Q&A, but what I would like to do is I'm going to do it row by row, and I'm going to start over here and kind of work my way back. I may skip over some people, and it's not because I'm ignoring you, but I want to get a different perspective, and I know some folks, I'm going to know what their perspective is, and I want to get a point-counterpoint. So we'll start from the second row back, and the question can be for any elected official here. You might want to talk directly to your local representative, your town supervisor, if you're here, or village mayor, or whatever it might be, or
the senator or the assemblyman, or I'm sure you'll have a lot of questions for Chris. Let me see if I got this working. So, all right, row one, all the way down.
John Phillips. Speaking of Atlantic City, it's got 14% unemployment as we're sitting here today. We have about half that here in Greene County, a little less than that. So the question really is, with the differential in the cost of living that gaming brings into communities, it has a tendency to send up the cost of living by 20-30%. How do we see that affecting our indigenous existing population? And what kinds of measures can we look ahead to institute to offset that?
So what I want to do in a lot of these is, we're not going to have the answers for these tonight. You know, what I want to do is document the questions, and then the follow-up to this is going to be strictly exactly what you asked. We bring it back, and then let's work it out. So thank you for that. Anybody else on row one? Yeah. Sorry, I don't ask you before.
My name is Judy Barra. My main concern is saturation, because there's casinos in Atlantic City, of course, and then they came to Connecticut, that hurt Atlantic City. Now they're in Pennsylvania, they're coming to Massachusetts, and even Rhode Island, as small as Rhode Island is, there's a casino there. And that's my main concern, is the saturation point. And that last picture you showed up there with the lake and the trees, the mountains, if we kind of stay back from this, maybe a few years, people will look and say, hey, I want to go to New York, because they don't have all these casinos. They're a little different from everyone else.
Great point. Yep, great point. And that's the non-gaming angle of this. Row two, anybody? I'll call this row two.
Yes, Nina. I'm all for whatever's gonna create really good jobs and keep people here and everything. I just have trouble reconciling the positive stuff with what I did a little research, and there was a Nightline program, for instance, about casinos and stuff, and the news is not good insofar as economic development is concerned. Maybe they're wrong, but they referred to a huge study that was done in Florida, which was, I think, the only really big study on gambling. On casinos, I should say. And everything they say is supported by this study. So I just think that somewhere along the line, if I could feel, and this is not really a question, it's just, you know, how do you reconcile? It's fine to present all the positives. Not that that's what the goal is here. I realize we're looking at all sides. But there seem to be negatives, so you know, they just need to be.
Anytime you guys want to jump in, just yes.
My name is Jim Schoeniger, and my question is to Chris. Chris, the way I understand that if this legislation doesn't pass on Tuesday and it fails, that there is an automatic that kicks in, that three of the areas will automatically get 1,000 gaming machines to be put into the area. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you touched on an interesting piece of the bill that I didn't reference. The bill specifically does include provisions. If the referendum gets deep sixed, notwithstanding that, the bill calls for the expansion of video lottery terminal, which is the VLTs, which look like slot machines, expansion in state to help increase state revenue. Specifically, it would allow for one additional one in Nassau. Right? If the referendum goes up, you're going to see one in Suffolk, one in Nassau.
I'm not speaking of that. That's a legislation that's already done. That's different.
It's going to happen.
I'm talking about this bill here. If this bill is defeated automatically,
you will still see video lottery terminal expansion.
Three locations in Zone 2.
It's not specifically in Zone 2. There are different areas of the state. It's not just your zone.
So there's a lot that's not being told.
Well, I just tried to focus on the actual referendum.
Right, a lot of you would just like to focus on just what you like to focus on, instead of telling everything. Okay? And what is the truth, and it's on your own website, is that this is defeated, okay? The figures that are out there, okay, that $53 million or $530 million allotted to Greene County is going to come to you one way or another, and it's going to be done
excuse me, by three locations in Zone 2 are going to have 1,000 machines apiece. More than likely, it'll be allotted to different harness tracks of Monticello, Saratoga, and,
Tioga,
okay? Yeah, not in this particular region, but in that would be in the southern region. So in other words, if this is defeated, it doesn't matter, it's still coming.
Correct.
Okay.
But not,
now,
not
that's one
the
thing that's
okay, that
that's not
already
that. Being said that's going to happen no matter what, okay? So there's a lot that's going to happen no matter what, okay? The continuation of the gambling is going to continue no matter what, whether it's defeated, okay? As far as having building big casinos in rural areas like this, it's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. It can't happen because this bill requires a company like Trump or a company like the any of the large casinos that we know them come in here and give 40% back to the state. And you can't do it. The business model doesn't work. It never did and never will. That's the reason why they went from 25% to 40%, because now it's automatically going to go to the racinos, correct?
I don't want to comment on the specifics of what's going to happen and what's not.
That's what's going to happen.
So
everybody in here is wasting their time thinking about they're going to get a casino when it can't happen.
I don't want to express my opinion. I'm simply trying to take what's in this legislation and tell you
it's all right, but it can't happen.
That's what we're talking about tonight. We just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to talk.
The facts are out there, but they're not interpreting the facts. They're not telling people the way they want them to hear. It doesn't other side of it, but they don't want you to hear that.
Understood.
My name is Hudson Talbot, and I'll try to fold my two questions into one. It's really about the promises that I'm seeing displayed here. Two things that jump out to me that I would just like a little, they just seem a little bit vague to me. They just, to be voting on them by Tuesday without being a little more specific is troublesome to me. Two things that off the top of my head is that the 80% is supposed to be coming back to us for education. How does that work? What is the form? What is the model? Is there a mechanism that you can tell me, or anybody up here can tell me specifically how that 80% goes from the casinos to the state and comes back to us? It's an easy statement to make, but it's a bit vague.
Is there a formula, or that you don't
have? I'm not the education aid expert in the state legislature. Basically, what happens is on a monthly basis, the money from the casinos is sent to the state, goes into the general fund. That money, every year when we do the state, when the legislature does the state budget, it's apportioned to specific school districts based on a very complex formula that I couldn't even begin to explain. Different areas get different amounts based on poverty aids and locations, and then politics gets involved in it. I can't speak to how the money is dispersed. All I can speak to is the bill specifically says this money, you can't be shifting around. This money comes in from casinos, it has to be added above and beyond what we're currently getting from the state lottery regulation.
We'll have that as a takeaway. That'll be one of the takeaway.
All right. Well, and then continuing to that is the promise of jobs, which you touched on before. I appreciate that, about just starting with the construction, the actual contracting. Is there anything in place that would require it to go to a local contractor? Or wouldn't there be any generation for companies based here in Greene County or in our region, whatever, that would reflect, that would come back to us? Just starting with that, also, I mean, just to be quick about it, because I know you have to move on, is all the jobs. How many of them are, we're talking about, are entry-level jobs, $9 or $10 an hour? How many are middle management? How many end up being? All of this is so vague, and we're supposed to vote on it by Tuesday, and I'm a little troubled at it.
Yeah, no, good point. And I don't have an answer other than go out, talk to people, and see what you can find out on the internet and things like that. And might have some more information. I mean, we're going to definitely take some of this back and get more answers on it, but I don't we're not going to have answers on those tonight. We should not really vote, we're not voting on it for Green County, we're voting on it for...
I just want to jump in quickly. In regard to the constitutional amendment that's in front of the population on election day, it's a single sentence that says there shall be 7 casinos in New York State, period. That's all the constitutional amendment says. There's another bill that was passed by the legislature, which I voted against because it has so many inconsistencies in it, that would implement that constitutional authorization if authorized by the voters. So two pieces. First step is constitutional amendment. That's up or down vote. There shall be 7 casinos in New York State, period. Irrespective of location, irrespective of all the other pieces you heard tonight, that's contained in a separate bill, which was yes, the big one, Economic Development Act for Casino Gambling, which has all of that detail in it. But the overarching piece, and I think this applies to the VLTs as well, is that anyone who pursues it, it's a competitive process. So I think you're right, sir, you're right, that piece wasn't highlighted, absolutely correct. But I believe that it still remains that there's an element of local control that still has to be exercised in either location, in either instance, the casino or the VLT pursuit. So just for clarification, the constitutional amendment, it's a single sentence. There shall be 7 casinos, period, or not. And then the other piece was passed by the legislature as a proposed framework to accompany the constitutional authorization. Just for clarification.
Okay, thanks. Are there any statistics available that can tell us what, Mohegan Sun or the number of jobs they generated?
Yes, that information is out. Yep, that information is out.
Because I think that would be something that all of us should do.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Perfect. You don't need those.
Paul Solidar, village and town of Hunter. Back in February this past year, I had privilege to afford the village board meeting, and I urged them to get a letter to the state to make us a possible host for a casino. The village board unanimously approved and got a letter to the state. I also am carrying a letter from the town of Hunter, all elected officials in support of casino gaming and want the chance to make the town of Hunter, which we have two villages, Village of Hunter and Village of Tannenbaum are both part of the town of Hunter. So everybody's in support that we want to be a possible candidate. In the Village of Hunter, we've got a $35 million infrastructure improvement by DEP. We have plenty of water, plenty of sewage, and we have the property. We would absolutely like to be a candidate. I have letters of support from both the village and the town, and those letters will be going to county legislator, Assembly Lopez, and our state senator. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on this roll? All right, all the way down. I feel like a game show host.
My name is Bob D'Agostino. First of all, I want to say that I know that our state legislators are in our corner, but you're part of a larger body that doesn't always act in relation to what the people want or need. So my question is this: what guarantees will there be that the legislature won't at some point in the future be able to reallocate this 80% or however much money we're talking about back to the general fund to assist in a future budget problem?
Yes, I'm
thank you.
I'll just jump up and answer. There are no guarantees. And it boils down to the membership, because that membership is constantly changing. And it's also dependent on who's at the head in terms of the governor as well. So between the two houses and the governor, there'd have to be agreement from all three sides. So we see that happen in many things, whether it's student aid or aid for schools. It's a constantly moving target. And I couldn't in good conscience tell you that this wouldn't change.
And just in good conscience, I can't tell you whether or not casino gambling will work in New York or not. I can't answer that because I don't have that clarity of vision. So the only thing that can be done is make decisions at the margin with the best information locally, with the best measure of people's sentiment, and try to make an objective decision at the margin, knowing that it's for the foreseeable future, whether it's 5 years or 10 years. I think the license agreement is a 10-year agreement. So the only window we would have is 10 years ostensibly. And that's the best we would know at this point.
I just want to agree with Pete. There are no guarantees in the future, and he's absolutely right. Having you engaged and involved and letting us know what's important to you and what you care about is clearly what you need to do and make sure that the people who are representing you here on all levels, also the county and village boards as well. So thank you. That's a very good question.
Anybody on this rock?
Bits and ways. I think a lot of great questions have been raised tonight. I know the point of this exercise is that it's a question and answer, and I believe this is a very important issue, especially for people like me, college graduates, that may want to return to the county and the future of this county. And I think it's such an important issue that we should discuss a follow-up to answer these questions, preferably before the 5th. Monday would be great. I don't know if that's a possibility.
Pulled this one together pretty quick. What I'll do is at the end, we'll kind of take a quick tally of the type of questions that are out there. Maybe the best format might be, we'll post something out on the Northern Catskills Chamber on their site, so then you can get the answers on there. Okay. I would love to pull together another meeting, but I know it takes a lot of folks a lot of time. I'm going to keep moving down. Anybody from this row?
And if I may, just to highlight the importance of the vote on the 5th, that vote, again, simply goes back to there shall be 7 casinos. The legislation itself is not a constitutional amendment and can be easily changed, could be changed this session if, in fact, the governor and the legislature feel that the framework is not appropriate. That would be more readily changed than the constitutional amendment. So in terms of answering questions, really all the questions stem from the enabling legislation that follows the proposed change to the Constitution. That's where all the detail is. They say the devil's in the details, and that's where all the questions really lie, is in this bill. Here, all the questions are in this bill, not in the Constitutional Amendment. That's simple up or down. Do you allow 7 in New York State or not? So that's for Tuesday. So just in terms of urgency, yes, it's time sensitive because it's a competitive process, but the actual detail is in this accompanying legislation, not the vote on Tuesday.
All right, thanks, Pete. Anybody from this row?
I have a question. Everybody's worried about the economy, the economic parts of it, but whenever you build large structures, there's lots of concrete, there's lots of construction pollution, there's lots of runoff, there's noise pollution from the guests. And how is building a gigantic casino going to affect the ecosystems and the environment around it? Because there's chemicals involved in buildings.
Thank you.
Yes. I can sort of answer your question. The bill specifically requires, as someone Lopez touched on this, specific approval by the local host municipality, by its planning board, by its zoning board. So certainly the environmental concerns you raised, which I think are very valid, are things that would be addressed at the local level when that company would have to come before with their plans on how they're going to build this mega structure and what their plans for runoff and drainage and sewers and all that other stuff. So I think the locality that comfortable process that's designed in the bill, they would have a say.
Right. It goes back to some of the onus is back on the host municipality and the planning board. Anybody from this room? Yes, Mr. Cross.
I just have one simple question. If this passes through the state and locally as a township, we decide, no, we don't want it. I take it that would take us out of consideration, yes or no?
Yes, because, and it was pointed out, the Casino Gaming Commission, along with its siting board, will be looking at competitive applications. And the point was well taken about just opening the door and putting a shingle on, saying that you want it or you don't want it. Don't want it, it's not coming. If you do want it, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be competitive. And those who are bound to be competitive, my understanding, the governor's been talking to folks for over a year on this issue and casino interest. So if you have someone with deep pockets, what was the application? $1 million?
Right.
So you have to pony up just $1 million from the applicant, just even get in the poker games, Texas Hold'em, just to get in the poker game, you have to have $1 million just to get the ante. So it's going to, really what it's going to boil down to, just my observation, it's going to be larger companies who have deep pockets, who can put together an application with a community that wants it, and make a pitch, and then it'll be competition. So if you don't want it, and this is my biggest concern, people shouldn't have it forced down their throats if they don't want it. In Ulster County, they had fast-track legislation for casinos. Some people said, no, thank you. I was part of a movement to allow that to be repealed so communities can have the home rule decision-making. That's most important.
Anybody else on this row? Lawrence? She's always good for a fight. Anybody from this row?
Catskill all my life, and just want to say on December 1st, I'll be boarding a bus for Foxwood with a group of about 50 people, and it would be nice to sleep an extra couple hours and go right down the road to have some fun.
This group in the back. All right. Oh, hold on. We got one way in the back.
Yeah, Mike Delackey. Unfortunately, I frequent Turning Stone too often. You used it for your motto, and I find that interesting. Let us not forget that part of the New York State Thruway is on sovereign Indian land, so the state's not going to say anything bad about a casino. But if you go there, you'll see the jobs are comprised mostly of people that have immigrated to this country. They're taking the jobs because they can get them, and they're in fear of losing them. They're not good jobs, they're just jobs. I don't see any industry anywhere around Turning Stone. The Turning Stone doesn't own. They have two PGA golf courses. They have one of the 10 best RV parks in the country. They have no less than 4 hotels on the property. So who's benefiting there any other than Turning Stone? Maybe this weekend we all should take a ride up there and talk to the people that live in the area, because there's signs all over the place. Nobody's in favor of that casino. And I'm not anti-casino, I'm just telling you the way it is. And the gentleman before said it's going to take somebody with a lot of money to come here and build a casino, and those people, they'll take over our ski slopes and everything else, and they'll put the money in their pocket. They'll spend $1 million to make this room look appealing. What local businessman could do that to get these people to come to their business? That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Good comments. Anybody else in the background? Okay.
I'd just like to know if there's any record of what the tax benefits are from the counties that now carry casinos and how that would affect Green County.
Yeah. So, basic question, yeah, you got it, Chris.
Yeah, I can speak generally to that. Specifically for the 3 Native American tribes that run casinos in the state of New York, the state has a specific revenue sharing formula with them. I could tell you with the Oneida Nation at Turning Stone, ironically, we never got anyone to the state from the Oneida Indian Nation for their privilege to operate that casino there. We saw no benefit. After 9/11 with the Seneca Nation, the 3 in Western New York, the state gets a specific percentage of what's called the net drop off of the slot machines out there. And that's money that finally goes back to the local municipalities, Caraga, Salamanca, and Niagara, and the city of Buffalo, where those 3 facilities are located.
unbeknownst to that, the state was in arbitration with them, and that broke free when the casino thing came through in the end of June, and I think like $550 million that they had been holding, the Senecas got released to those municipalities of Western New York.
All right, I think a takeaway for there, Jeanette, is really diving into a municipality that has a casino and seeing literally if their taxes were a dollar before, are their taxes 50 cents today? Right? I mean, I think that was your question, was dollar yesterday, casino comes in, are your taxes 50 cents? That's what we're gonna find out. That'll be a takeaway. Yeah, we don't know, we're gonna have that as a takeaway. Yep. All right, anybody from this background? David?
Hi folks, David Brockway, resident of the town of Casco my entire life. My parents raised five children in this town, worked in the local businesses. My dad worked in the cement plants, which no longer exist. Myself, I worked for the Department of Corrections 25 years, still work part-time for the Division of Homeland Security, and I owned a landscaping company for 30 years or so. A lot of us would like to just wave a magic wand and make all of our problems go away, but we know that's not going to happen. Just to give a little background about myself, about 18 years ago, across the street where the Home Depot currently is, there was a proposal to build a very nice, and that was presented by the Stockbridge Muncie Tribe and Mohican Indians, who I currently still work for, and they did, in fact, buy the Murphy's Bar in Leeds, which they still do own. They tried to have a little meeting like this, and they got a lot of resistance, and here's a group of Indians, privately owned, they would benefit, basically. They did not build that casino here because of a lot of the questions that are going on in the room today. So we're almost like repeating history here in the room for me personally. So they continued on their path to several casinos in Wisconsin instead of New York State. As far as putting a casino in our area, that would be great, but I want you to think about if we did build it and everything was going great and then suddenly the economy went bad and I wanted to take the current economy right now, how many of you have money to reach into your pockets and go to the casino and spend it locally? All right, I know we're hoping people are gonna come in from outside the area and spend their money, that's great. But suppose that all this infrastructure gets changed and the casinos do get built, or a casino, and we're profiting really, really well and things are going bad, and all of a sudden we have a bad turn. And we have all these people that relocated to Greene County that now no longer have jobs. Currently, about, after speaking with Mr. Marcoux a few minutes ago, Greene County's budget for social services, public assistance, is over $3 million a month. We have about 47% of the residents in this county on public assistance of some type. What's going to happen to those numbers then? Who's going to support that kind of failure in the system? I don't think I can afford to live here at this point. The way the taxes are now is kind of pushing me out of the county, which I don't want to do. I'm not trying to plant a bad seed, but I'm just trying to bring some points up for everybody in this room to think about. Once again, I'd love to be able to wave that wand and make everything good, but I don't think it's possible. Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, back row, everybody. Next slide. All right, let me slide around here. Anybody? All right, Larry.
As much as I appreciate the format of this forum, I think one thing is missing. I'm not saying I'm for or against casinos, but there hasn't been any official stand or information given by anybody on the panel. So all we're hearing is whether they're facts or not, it could be construed as a hearsay from members of the audience. I think there should have been a balanced approach to this hearing where any negatives were presented in a factual basis.
Perfect.
Is it true that if we don't get a casino, even if it's voted in or out in this county, that there is money that will come in for those to us as a non-casino county, and what would that amount be?
Chris had highlighted a little bit, but it's 10% of the receipts that the state takes its share, and then there's 10% to the host community in the county, and then 10% of the revenues within that zone are then spread out to the other remaining counties. So I don't have the dollar amount, I think it was a UOB estimate. Yeah, yeah. You had the duty estimate, Chris. You want it?
Yes, sir.
Much mentioned.
$612,000. So that information was in one of the slides, and keep in mind it's not my number, it's not the assemblyman or senator's number, it's but if you were if say a casino goes into Sullivan County, you'll still see an ancillary benefit because you're in the region, and that amount would be $612,589,000 for your county distribution. And that this information, I believe, is still on the front table. If you
that's an estimate.
Yeah, it's an estimate by the division of the budget.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Anybody else? Lee Miller, lived in this community for 50 years. I'm a local businessman. Seem to come to these meetings quite often about growth in our community, and there seems to be a lot of opposition about growth. I constantly hear about our beautiful landscape, the water, the trees, but also we have to take into consideration more and more people moving out of this county, there's less and less jobs. As Mr. Brockway said, cement plants have closed down, local restaurants are closed down. Every day you hear about somebody going out of business or somebody moving to Florida or other areas. It's nice that we want to protect our environment, and yes, it is necessary. But there comes a point with there's only going to be a few people left in this county, and who's going to pay the taxes to support it? Thank you. Anybody in this room? Anybody here?
Hi, Jared Giordano, candidate for Catskill Town Council. Just everyone needs to remember, this is about Tuesday and voting yes or no. We're all talking about the little bit afterwards. Tuesday is yes or no. I've lived in this community my entire life. I grew up here. I came back here after college. I've slowly watched it die. Greene County is not alive. The resorts are shuttering. Businesses are leaving. We've lost hundreds of jobs with cement plants closing. Walmart isn't the solution to Greene County's problems. A casino would be one of the solutions to invigorating the local economy. But remember, Tuesday is just a yes or no vote to seven casinos in New York State. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Ron from Brown Street Town of Catskill. I do agree that tourism is where we have been best for over 200 years. Tourism is where our future is going to be. Casinos are one option. We have the river. We do have the freeway. We have lots of infrastructure. We have an increase over the last 20 years of the art. That'll bring people up to Columbia and Dutchess County. But I did have a different question that I prepared as you were doing your presentations. This is really towards Chris. It's a little different than what anyone else has asked. It's three parts. The current gaming commission, what is its official name? Second.
That is the official name. It's the New York State Gaming.
Go to the mic.
Okay.
That is the official name. We changed that in 2011. It was in the budget. We merged lottery and the racing wagering board. Now we have the state gaming commission.
Okay, that was my second question. How long has this entity been in existence? So 2 years.
Yeah.
Third, what happened to the previous organization that was running the gaming in New York State?
So in the governor's budget several years ago as an additional cost-saving measure, he has been proposing merging different state agencies. So we merged banking and insurance, and we call it the Department of Regulatory
Financial Services.
He did the same thing the next year with the Racing and Wagering Board and the State Division of the Lottery. He combined them together to create the Gaming Commission with a fixed amount of members to save money by streamlining operations.
Okay, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is this is an agency that's going to be in charge of siting. This is an agency that's going to be in charge of liquor licenses, because New York State is not. Where did NYRA play? Where was NYRA, and what had happened to NYRA?
So the New York Racing Association is a
very quasi-state agency that runs the state's three thoroughbred tracks, right? It's got its own board, president, employees, the whole nine yards, and it basically considered a private operator that is under the jurisdiction of the State Gaming Commission. You know, they ensure that the parimutuel wagering on horses is on the up and up, that there's nothing nefarious going on, that the betting, the parimutuel wagering systems are legitimate, that no one's doping the horses. They still have jurisdiction over NYLA and horse racing state.
Okay, have they had any problems in the last 5 or 10 years?
No comment.
I guess that's where my the agency that is going to be organized, and I don't want to monopolize, be the watchdog. Is
yeah, and just to be clear right now, the Gaming Commission is currently the agency, the watchdog agency, over Indian, Native American gaming at Oneonta, Turning Stone in Western New York, with the Mohawks in Northern New York. They have people on the ground with offices in those casinos, you know, and actually they work very closely with the state police to police those different Native Americans.
Thank you very much for your time.
Good afternoon, Chuck. I promise 6:30.
6:36.
Oh, all right. A couple more rows. Anybody else? Chris?
I'm Chris Feaster from the Village of Athens. And I appreciate everything Vinny did to put this together, but I do think that the other side of the equation was really missing from the panel tonight. We started out with the Chamber of Commerce, which was very pro-casino. I myself haven't really made up my mind one way or the other. But they made a number of assertions and statements that are going to probably go unchallenged here. And because we didn't have that other point of view coming from the podium. But for example, they mentioned brain drain. I can't see the casinos ending the brain drain in New York State. That's not going to happen. You know, the people that are leaving for higher paying jobs and better careers are still going to leave, whether there's a $18 or a $14 an hour casino job here in Green County. That's not going to change. The other assertion was that the casinos are going to help downtown businesses. And I really can't see that happening either. As one of the gentlemen said earlier, the Turning Stone Casino is pretty much a self-sufficient organization. They have everything that a visitor to the casino would need to enjoy their experience. I can't see somebody going to the casino and then turning around and driving to the other end of Green County just to experience some other aspect of the county. They're going to get off. They're going to get off the thruway, get on the thruway, and move on to the next destination. Hotels, for example, it mentioned there was at least one hotel required. Well, in Greene County, and I don't mean to disparage any of the businesses that struggle so hard to survive here, but there aren't a lot of Class A hotels in Greene County. How many people go to a casino and then decide, well, we won't stay overnight here at this very elegant, brand new hotel, but we'll go to the other end of the county and we'll spend our time there. So I don't want to take too much of your time, but those are just some of the things that I think kind of went unsaid in the Chamber of Commerce presentation. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Rump, everybody?
I'm from Greenville, and I've lived in the county all my life, which has been quite old. We have resort. People come to us, and years ago, it was the Catskill Game Farm, it was Carson City, and I'm not equivocating that these are the same type of activities, but people like to have things to do, and that doesn't mean they're going to go and stay at a casino or a family resort, but people would just love to have more to do, and they're going to gamble, the money might as well stay in New York. Thank you.
Next
row. Hi, I'm Lillian Johnson, and several years ago, I also was at that meeting with Dave Brockman. One of the things that there was about Indian casinos, which is why I didn't want a casino here in Greene County, was that Indian casinos come off the tax rolls. So if you have a building structure worth, you know, $1 billion, you cannot get any taxes off of it. And what the Indian casinos did at that time was to give a donation, which would not really cover your cost of your infrastructure, your roads, your services. So therefore, at that time, I was against casinos. Another thing is if we do put a casino here and it is privately owned, now we have those taxes for that. We also need to put a plan into place throughout the county with our already existing resorts and have our resorts offer to bring their people to the casinos. Maybe there's a plan in place to help the resorts that have been failing to help them with monies to upgrade the resorts they have. So I guess that's all I need to say.
All right, next and last row.
I'm Chris Fry from New Baltimore. Chris Higgins. The items you went down the list of that would qualify an organization to come here and build a casino, it seemed to be all about the supply side. In other words, how do you divide up the pie? There was nothing there about whether there are enough ingredients to actually make the pie. So this comes back to demand. Are they required to come up with feasibility studies and quantify demand before they get further down the road?
So I didn't touch on this, but you raised an interesting question. I referenced the fact that the scoring is going to be weighted on certain factors. Right now, in the current bill, 70% is on economic development, 20% is on local impact and specific siting factors in that jurisdiction or geographic location, and 10% is based on workforce enhancement factors. So those bullets that were in the presentation, they're all gonna be weighted in those specific categories in the score process. Does that help?
Demand is blamed in there something. Where does demand come in? Where is the feasibility study on the demand? If the casinos in the nearby areas are all suffering from cannibalization.
No, I've tried to stay away from my opinions, but I think, quite frankly, what's going to happen is, and someone references, I think these companies have been evaluating all along the different regions. They've been looking at different towns, different sites. I think they're the ones who are conducting the feasibility studies to see if they can actually sustain a casino in a certain jurisdiction. And actually, if you see this in Massachusetts, which just recently legalized casino gaming, one company actually pulled out of the process because they didn't think they could make enough money. So I don't think you're going to see that so much on the local municipal side. I think you're going to see it from the companies themselves. That's just my opinion. I've tried to just stay away from giving you my opinion.
Can I sneak in one more cannibalization question here? A subtlety, this is a real nuance. The entertainment management people in the capital region are very concerned that a casino can come in, let's say Saratoga, for example, require them to perform only in the casino, thereby wiping out the ability for, say, a Proctor's or a local pub Helsinki or something to book those same entertainers ever. So, number one, can you address that with the 800-pound gorilla of a casino company? I think it's a serious thing that will impact the cultural life of the area.
Okay, so just specifically, the bill does not address the issue you're referring to, which is cannibalization of local theatrical or concert halls. It doesn't address that issue. What happened is after that concern was raised, the governor released a statement and said, "You have my word. We're not going to do that. We're going to partner with the local theaters and concert venues to make sure that does not happen." But there's nothing in the bill that addresses that issue.
All right, perfect. So I want to have a follow-up from the Assemblyman and our Senator, and then I'll do one last statement, and then... Okay.
Baltimore, town of Baltimore, and I do support a casino in Greene County. I also happen to be minority owner of Vernon Downs, and I think that this area is prime for a casino, and I'd like to see one up at exit 21B. It reminds me a lot of exit 33. It's easy access. It's a lot of McDonald's just moved up there, a lot of different businesses. And I think that the county, at 20, I don't know if you're aware, but there was an agreement in Resorts World. A little higher unemployment than other places, so what I urge the legislature and the officials in the county to really consider and go after a casino here. Look for a developer. I'd be glad to help you, and thank you for the time.
All right, perfect. Thank you. All right, let's just do a quick wrap up. I see a couple people are wiggling a little bit, so Senator Katchik.
I just want to thank everyone for coming tonight. I took notes. I think there's a lot of pros and cons to this entire process. Legislation. And just because this bill, you know, got passed this session, that doesn't mean it can't be tweaked or amended and some changes made. And I wholeheartedly want you to go on Tuesday and speak your heart and decide whether or not there should be 7 casinos in New York State. And it's then, no matter what happens on Tuesday, if it passes, I think there's still a lot of work to be done on how those processes, the county, we all have to work together and see if it does pass, what's our role, what do we want to see here in Greene County. If it doesn't pass, there are still going to be some BLTs coming online. What's our role? What do we want to do together in Greene County to help Greene County prosper, take advantage of whatever economic opportunities are that are out there? And how can we work together to make, you know, Greene County an exciting place to be? And that's, you know, I think there's more some of the questions answered. I think if you can post them online at the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, that'll be quickly accessible by everyone. So I don't know if that's an option. I'm sorry. The Greater Northern Catskill, Great Northern Catskill Chamber of Commerce Facebook page will post the questions.
Thank you, Pete.
And, you know, when the governor first pitched the aspect of casino gambling as economic development, I think many people have ambivalence about whether it's economic development or trying to capture revenues that are leaving the state. I think I lean more towards the area of revenues leaving the state. I think that was the governor's intent. But it gets back to what we heard also from some people. What are, and this is something we have, many of our legislators, Kevin Lewis is head of the tourism initiative, working with the chamber, working with our other colleagues here. The whole premise is, what is the credit? Historic amenities, the ski areas, the golf courses. Greene County is a beautiful jewel in the Catskills. I have to tell you that my wife and I have fallen in love with this county. We experience every element of it, and we can't help but marvel at the beauty. But there's another piece of it too, the manufacturing, the value-added pieces. There's so many aspects to making a community healthy that I think all of us have to realize that none of us want to put our eggs in one basket. We want our small businesses, we want our farms, we want our... The more we can provide for our roads and bridges to be maintained, the more we can provide the quality of life that we treasure here. So again, this is a matter of conscience. This is a long conversation, but it boils down to, in your hearts, what do you want? What is your vision for the future of this county, and how do we come together as a community to resolve it and move us forward. So we're partners here, and we're thrilled to be part of this. And again, there's no question that that's too small or insignificant. We all have to be patient with each other.
My closing is this. You know, first of all, thank you for coming out tonight, number one, because you're taking your Friday night away from your families, and I see some of you brought your families. But I, two things. One, I warned you at the beginning that it was going to be slightly on the programming side as I kind of read through the slideshow and took a look at it. But I also want to make sure that, you know, I don't want to be in a position that we didn't have this conversation, whatever side is leaned towards tonight. Because to me, that was worse than doing nothing is worse than doing something, in my opinion, here. Questions, we're gonna thrive to get those answered by Tuesday, get them out on the site, but also to really start to think about what the next steps are if we are going to monopolize off of, if it passes, casino or not in Greene County, there's opportunity for us, and I want to make sure we don't let it pass us by. So thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. Thank you.